This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Since we last spoke, a number of things have happened, which in most countries would probably be front page news. But given the lie of the land and the things that are going on here, unfortunately, many of these things just fly completely under the radar. We had a terror attack on Thursday that took place at the Allenby Bridge. A driver of a humanitarian aid truck coming from Jordan decided to get out of his truck before it was inspected at the Allenby Bridge and shot dead two Israeli soldiers who were there to inspect the humanitarian aid coming through Jordan. Now, just to put this into some sort of a context, Jordan is a country with which Israel has a peace agreement. It has open borders. Israel has agreed to allow humanitarian aid to flow from Jordan, amongst other places, through Israel towards Gaza. So this was an act of humanitarian action, bringing food and other important supplies into Gaza. And that is the prize that Israel gets for allowing this type of open border policy to continue. Fortunately, it hasn't really risked Israel's peace agreement with Jordan, but it does show that even where we have peace agreements, we have to be very, very cautious about what happens on our borders. And even when we are performing a mitzvah, because there are some people who feel that when you're performing a mitzvah, you have some sort of personal protection around you and that you are safe from all the elements. But unfortunately, in this case, the mitzvah that was being prepared was being observed to allow the humanitarian aid didn't afford the protection to those two IDF soldiers who were killed. There were four IDF soldiers who were killed in Gaza. Their vehicle was exploded. I think that was a classic case of not sticking strictly to the rules, because even though the IDF has such control over large swathes of Gaza, it shows that there are still areas of Gaza which are really unsafe, that there are still people operating, there are still attempts to attack IDF soldiers. And unfortunately, we saw that vehicle somehow seemed to deviate from the established practices, and the practices are there for good reason. And unfortunately, four very, very valuable lives lost, more soldiers killed in Gaza. We had a drone that came from Yemen that exploded very, very near to our hotel in Eilat. Fortunately, there were no casualties or injuries. There was some damage caused to a building. There were missiles that were fired, would you believe, from Gaza towards the Ashdod area yesterday. Two missiles, in spite of the IDF control over Gaza, they still somehow managed to fire missiles. Fortunately, one of those missiles was intercepted. The other one was not destined for anywhere where there was a population, and so that was allowed to land safely, without any damage or injury being caused. And that's just what flies under the radar. That's just those are just the things that are hardly reported anywhere. So just to put viewers in the picture that, you know, life around here continues to be fraught and extremely active indeed.
Let's talk about this summit that's due to take place in New York today to progress plans to implement a two-state solution in the Middle East. I thought they did try that in 1948. But anyway, this comes as four countries yesterday announced their support for the establishment of a Palestinian state. How does this change things?
So this is all quite confusing, I think, for many of us. And, you know, I've tried to get my head around what exactly is going on. So this is the summit that will take place in New York ahead of the United Nations, the annual United Nations General Assembly, which is due to begin later this week. And of course, there will be all speakers from around the world will come along and they will make their presentations to the General Assembly, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, who will appear there at some point as well during the General Assembly session. But ahead of that General Assembly session, Saudi Arabia and France have decided to host a summit in New York, which apparently has on its agenda to progress the idea of a two-state solution. And the reason why, and of course, this comes, as you say, on the back of a declaration by Portugal, Canada, Australia, and the UK yesterday, that they recognize a Palestinian state. That was the statement. Now, I think it's important to also say that in the UK, for example, an opinion poll, quite a reliably done opinion poll, has said that most citizens in the UK absolutely don't support the idea of supporting a two-state solution right now. And I think that therein lies the real issue. It's not that the concept of a two-state solution is problematic in and of itself. I think the problem is all about the timing and what is being done right now on the back of October the 7th attack, which is almost 2 years ago now, and on the back of the continued war in Gaza, and particularly on the back of the fact that we are on day 717 and 48 hostages remain in Gaza. So what the summit apparently is designed to achieve is to, as they say, put out concrete steps, actions that will be set out towards the establishment of a two-state solution in the Middle East. And interestingly, one of the conditions is that the hostages will be released. Now, I don't know how we can talk beyond that. In other words, it's all fine and well to plan out whatever might happen if the hostages are released. The problem is that after 2 years, almost 2 years, of trying to achieve that, the hostages are still not released. So I can't understand how any plans can be made right now that assume that hostages will be released when it has become clear that the hostages are not being released. And therefore, everything else that you plan that depends upon the release of the hostages seems to be futile. It seems to just be superfluous right now because the hostages are simply not being released. And it doesn't seem like there's any will or desire or plan to get the hostages released. I mean, if it was me, I would say, let's put a concrete plan together as to how we're going to release those hostages. That's like step number one. But this kind of really glides over all of that. And even though the text says that, of course, Hamas will not be in power and that the hostages will be released, it's almost stated as a sideshow, as kind of something that's almost not important. It's a condition, and it's written there in order to satisfy whoever might read the documentation, but it doesn't seem to have any real level of importance attached to it as to how that's actually going to be achieved. So in my view, everything that comes on the back of that and assumes that the hostages will be released is kind of just not relevant right now, because as I say, day 717, the second Rosh Hashanah that we will be going into, and 48 hostages still not released. Now, when those states yesterday, those countries decided to recognize a Palestinian state, the things that confuse me are, first of all, we have this thing called the Palestinian Authority, and they govern a certain area of land in Judea and Samaria, and that's a sort of a quasi-government that's been in place for some time. When they say recognize a Palestinian state, there doesn't seem to be much credence given to that that fact of life, that reality on the ground, that there is already this quasi-Palestinian state that exists under the leadership of Mahmoud Abbas, under the leadership of the Palestinian Authority. Why is it that they are not saying, well, we'll take that and we'll create a Palestinian state out of that? We will enhance the status of what already exists rather than trying to draw up from scratch some sort of idea about how the two-state solution might come into existence. And of course, the answer to why they're not using that is because of Gaza, because Gaza is not currently part of the Palestinian Authority, even though at one stage there was an attempt to incorporate Gaza. And so therefore, when you put all your eggs into the Palestinian Authority basket, you don't recognize the Gaza reality. And what is the Gaza reality? Well, I don't really know, because on the one hand, they say release of hostages and Hamas is out of there. But what's the rest of the narrative? Where does that go from there on? Because we already tried putting the Palestinian Authority in to govern that area. That didn't go down very well. Israel gave up that territory and said, here, have it as a Palestinian state. That's what happened in 2005. That didn't work out terribly well. So I'm not really quite sure where the idea of a two-state solution is really going to go. And I'm very fascinated to see if anything really sensible comes out of this New York summit that's due to take place later today. Israel and the US, of course, have decided to boycott it. And, you know, I just need to reiterate that I think that most Israelis would very much support the idea of a Palestinian state being established to allow Palestinians to have somewhere to live, to have their own self-determination, to allow themselves to grow an economy and to grow their families and to have a peaceful existence. But I think that there is the real emphasis, a peaceful existence. Mm. If that doesn't exist, then there is no two-state solution. And right now, with the war going on, with the hostages still taken up in Gaza, with Hamas still somehow in control of Gaza, with missiles still being fired towards Israel, whether it be from Gaza, whether it be from the Yemen or from anywhere else, I don't think that it is a really good time to talk about how we're going to get to a peaceful two-state solution. I just don't get it.
And I just keep thinking, well, what a waste of time that was. All we needed to do was go back to 1948, accept the notion that was proposed, and we could have avoided all of this. What a long way around, well, it seems to be.
Well, potentially so, Howard, but I think that one of the things that we might need to also recognize, which hasn't changed since 1948, is the reason why the proposal in 1948 wasn't accepted. Mm-hmm. And the reason at that time was because the Arabs decided that they didn't want a two-state solution. Why was that? The reason is because they didn't want the Jews in the vicinity at all. They didn't accept the notion of Israel being here as a Jewish country. And I would suggest that some of those realities have not changed even over the last 70, 80 years.
Yeah, and that's really the point, because none of this just makes any sense. But, I mean, where would the capital be? And then to still say that it's not a reward to Hamas or it doesn't connect to that is just a complete absurdity.
And let's just recall that over the years since 1948, there have been a number of moments when a two-state solution was offered and put on the table with everything, almost everything, that the Palestinians had requested. And it was rejected over and over and over again. The whole Oslo process, which created the Palestinian Authority, was meant to also create a two-state solution. That went down the tubes because the principles weren't adhered to. Yasser Arafat at Camp David, when Bill Clinton was president, was offered everything by Ehud Barak that Israelis would probably never have accepted, but it was offered and put on the table nonetheless. And even that was rejected. So it doesn't have to go back to 1948. We can go back to years which are much more recent than that for proposals of a two-state solution. Mm.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Anyway, Israel is reported to be on the verge of reaching a security agreement with Syria. How significant is this one?
I think this is massively significant, and it's interesting that the Syrian president has landed in the U.S. to attend the U.N. General Assembly meeting. By the way, it's the first time that a Syrian president is attending the U.S. Since 1967, I believe, was the last time that a Syrian president actually was given right to attend anything in the U.S. So Ahmad al-Shara, as he is sometimes known, or as he is also known, Abu Muhammad al-Julani, it's the same person, just with different names, has arrived in the US. He's been speaking about the fact that there have been discussions with Israel about a security agreement. Prime Minister Netanyahu has also briefed his cabinet, saying that there are significant discussions with the Syrian government about what they call a security agreement. This is not a peace treaty. This is kind of the first baby step in the direction of potentially a peace agreement with Syria. But it's interesting that the prime minister said that this comes really as a result of defeating Hezbollah along Israel's northern border in Lebanon predominantly, but which also led to the downfall of the Syrian government. So he views the current developments as being directly as a result of the defeat of Hezbollah. And that a security arrangement, security agreement with Syria might well be in the offing very, very soon. I could not have predicted this 2 years ago. I probably couldn't even predicted it a year ago. And so I think that this is massively significant and reflects the new reality that we find on our northern border. And so I guess we reach the moment where we say Shana Tova and Chag Sameach. Let's remember 48 hostages, 717 days. We'll spend Rosh Hashanah in Gaza tunnels again, which really is not acceptable. And none of us should really be allowed to forget our hostages in Gaza and the fact that they really should be out spending Rosh Hashanah with their families. But I hope that all of you will have a meaningful Rosh Hashanah, that all the food will be up to scratch, that the company will be good, and that you'll have an opportunity to reflect on where we are as a nation and where we are as a people right now in the world, because so much has changed over the last year. And let's hope that the new year will bring health and happiness for all of you, and of course a new reality for Israel and for the Jewish people around the world, that things should only be better, that we should be stronger, and we should be able to take whatever is coming next and use it for positive things. So I wish you all a Chag Sameach, a Shana Tova, and I will be back on Thursday.
Anthony Reich wishing you a Chag Sameach, a Shana Tova, a sweet, a peaceful, and a healthy new year. And we'll chat to you on Thursday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.